This morning, I want to begin a new series called This is Jesus. And the first message is, He is my God. That's exciting because when we think about Jesus, there are many things that come to mind. We've gone through Sunday school, been in Bible study, we've gone to retreat, we hear sermons. But at what point in our life do we really acknowledge that He is our God? Now, we probably have seen this type of emotions before from people. Let's see if I got this thing going. Left side. Okay. I have this even powered on properly. Okay. So, there are different reaction from people when they come before the Lord or when they're out experiencing different things in life. So you see OMG. What's OMG stands for? Oh my God. Yeah. Now, when people express it that way, it's not usually a way they want to honor God. Sometimes they just say it's a curse. You watch television, they use the name of Jesus in vain, right? Jesus Christ. So every time I hear people like that, and sometimes one time I did confront somebody. How about it? Every time I'm not happy, I call out your mother's name. So the guy, shut up. Okay. So when people do this, they don't understand. So teach your children, this is not something you want to say, oh my gosh, oh my God. Okay. So, and there are those who would say, okay, I'm going to wear something. Is this thing working? Okay. Technology. We prayed for this morning. God, let all technology work out well. So, sometimes we wear shirts that would say, Jesus is my King. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Shepherd. And in our politically correct society, sometimes this is not even acceptable. Because in some school, they may send you home. Because this is offensive to some people. When you declare Christ, I know that in the banks, in some of the places, you cannot publicly display your faith. It's amazing. We were just at the bank this week, and I talked to the Chinese guy. He was wearing a prayer bead. So I said, beautiful bead, isn't it? Yeah, it's very expensive. And I said, well, are you wearing it for decoration? Are you wearing it for, what do you call this now, for your faith? Oh, he said, oh yes, I forgot. So he opened his drawer, he brought up all the things that are Chinese. He brought up his crystals. That's the first thing he brought up. And then he brought up a Chinese statue and all kinds of different things. He said, well, I'm not supposed to display all of these things because it could be offensive. So in our society today, by declaring your faith, it is not an easy thing. Because the name of Jesus has been trivialized. So this week, I just saw on the news that there's a new shoe that came out. You all heard about the Jesus shoes? How many of you have heard Jesus shoe? Okay, so soon as it hit the market, it sold out at that time, $1,400 for one pair of Jesus shoes. And this Jesus shoe is basically just a name. It really is, they say, in collaboration. They work it up. Okay. There's the Jesus shoe. Okay. You know, where the soul is, it is holy water. Holy water. And so you see in the marking, Mark, Matthew 14, verse 15, Jesus walking on water. Now, this sold for 3,000 pounds. Okay? And so when you think about our society today, when they think about Jesus, it's not Jesus is my God. Jesus is something else. Perhaps we ourselves do not quite understand or even accept the truth that Jesus is God Himself. We may have believed that Jesus is a good teacher. Maybe we may believe that Jesus is a healer. He may be a miracle worker. He's a prophet. Actually, the Muslims believe the same thing. Other people believe in general the same thing. But there are certain things that they don't quite accept that Jesus is God Himself. So this morning we want to explore this thing about who Jesus is in terms of Jesus is God. Now we've just read that passage when Jesus, after He resurrected from the dead, appeared before His disciples. There was one person who missed that event. So guys, don't miss the fellowship. Alright, don't miss church because you may miss something big. And here's Jesus right after His resurrection behind closed doors. What did it say about the disciples? They were in fear because of the Jews. They have seen what happened to Jesus, that He was arrested, He was abused, He was crucified. And yet this is where we come into our understanding about who Christ is. He would appear. He would not abandon His disciples. He showed Himself and He declared, "Peace be to you." And that's the first thing that He wants to assure His followers. Have peace. I am here with you. And, well, we saw what happened here with Thomas. He wasn't there. And so when the disciples came and talked about it, they're all excited. And Thomas said, "No way. I'm not going to believe this unless I put my finger where His nail holes were." Now, that's a declare of unbelief. Think about this. If you have been following Jesus for 3 years, faithfully, you've seen Him do miracles, you've heard His teaching, and He's said this a number of times, you know, in 3 days, you destroy the temple, it will be rebuilt. He will come again. Here is Thomas, who missed that first appearance of Jesus, having his doubts. In essence, I probably may share the same emotions. I can't believe you. How come you guys got it all, but I miss it all? But when Jesus showed up and said, "Here, Thomas, put your hands here." What did He declare? Immediately He declared, "My Lord, my God." So those are huge words. I'll expound on that a little bit more. But this is what John, the gospel writer, wrote for us. This is written that you may what? Believe that Jesus is the Christ. And by believing, you may have eternal life. And so, as we explore who Jesus is, this morning I want us to personalize it. It's not just an intellectual understanding, but what does it mean when we say, "Jesus, you are my Lord"? What does it mean for us when we say, "Jesus, you are my God"? Can I appropriate this into my life and live life like He is indeed my God and my Lord? So this series of This is Jesus, I'll go through 5 of them. It's in the website and the bulletin what it will be. But let's look at this. How can I realize that Jesus is God? Well, the first thing is look at the prophecies. The Messiah was predicted in the Old Testament. We'll read this around Christmas time. "Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel." So we understand that Emmanuel means God is with us. God with us. A huge comfort to the people at that time who have gone through oppression, persecution. Can we declare, can we honestly say, "I know that God is with us"? oftentimes in China, when believers sign off, they always sign off Emmanuel, Immanuel. The idea is God is with us. Churches may go through difficulties, but we need to know that God is with us. Personally, you've gone through trials and hardship. It is a comfort to know that God is with us. So that's one of the things. When the Old Testament recorded its prophecy, it recorded it in the context of where they are. And they were in a time of darkness, in a time of oppression. To think that, has God left us? No. God is with us. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. Jesus had an earthly ministry. However, we find that he was worshipped. Okay. This thing working. Yeah. Earthly ministry. When the Magi came to seek after him, they worshipped him. They presented him with gifts that are representative of those honored by giving gifts that a king would deserve. We find that his disciples worship him. Matthew 14 said, and when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Those that were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, this is not just a mere declaration of words. This are when the disciples have gone through a dangerous hardship. And there is Jesus with them. And have seen how he calmed the storm. You are truly the Son of God. Have you gone through those experiences yourself? When you said, you know, I need deliverance. I need to know that God is with me. I have... My twin brother had prostate cancer. And so my doctor said, you know, you are a candidate for prostate cancer. Now, that's not something I wanted to hear. And so I said, get tested for my prostate count. You know, it's supposed to be under 4.0. Well, mine was 11, then it went up to 12, then up to 15, as high as 21. So I'm one who is always in denial when it comes to my health. Yeah, my wife is shaking. Yes. Yeah, I deny that I am sick. Okay. So even in 1987, I was pastoring out here. I had a gallbladder situation. And I went to 8 doctors before I said, all right, take out my gallbladder. I can't take it anymore. So the prostate cancer thing came up. And so he said, you need to have a biopsy. So I did. I had one biopsy, and the count was still high. And I had a second biopsy. The count was still high. So each time I prayed, God, let it solve the problem. And I have a third biopsy. Now, prostate is the size of a walnut. I had 4 biopsies. And finally I said, God is with me. I'm done with biopsies. If there is cancer, I don't know. I don't believe I'll die from that cancer. So I believe that God is with me. I'll be talking about God is the healer in coming weeks. So do not miss November 3rd. Okay, November 3rd is a joint service. We will have worship service at 10 o'clock with the Chinese congregation. Remember this, November 3rd. So I'll be talking about Jesus is my healer. Nancy will share her testimony of how God healed her. So if you want to explore what healing is, I was just at my eye doctor. He's a Christian, a devoted Christian. So I told him about my knees. And he said, you know, I go to a church now. It's a very good church. That believes in the expression of God as a healer. He said, however, in my tradition as a physician, I have a different viewpoint. Okay. So here it is. You may be a believer, But sometimes in our background, our education, our way of exposure, we limit what God can do. And so I just want to encourage you to explore everything that the Bible says about God, about Jesus, because he has been worshipped. Now, in the Jewish tradition, not anyone can be declared God. Remember in the Old Testament, I am God, you shall have no other gods before me. So this is the whole thing, the declaration of the Jewish people, Deuteronomy. There is only one God. You should worship the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. So there is only one God as we look into this. And even before his ascension to heaven, Matthew 28, we know 28 verse 18 and 19, 19 and 20 as the Great Commission. But prior to that, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. So here is the tension as followers of Jesus. Can we embrace him wholeheartedly and worship him? Or do we have reservations? And so Christians, we don't have to pretend. I've been working with some people who are going through seasons of doubt. And it's okay to have questions. But there comes a point when you take that step of faith and said, Jesus is. Who is he? Can you declare that Jesus is my God? Went out to go. It's a little different in there, okay? Sometimes my software don't quite go hand in hand. So Jesus was worshipped in many, many different occasions. Now, Jesus has the names of God. In the Old Testament, we're familiar with the word Yahweh, Jehovah. And the name of God is very sacred to the Jewish people. They don't even want to mention the name. It is so special that no one can just utter that name. But Yahweh is the common name in the Old Testament, 5,300 times, translated Lord in many different languages. Now, in the New Testament, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. In New Testament, it's basically in Greek. So the name is used in the Bible in the New Testament is Kurios, and often is translated Lord. So it means someone who has absolute authority, sovereignty, control. So when we say, God, you are my Lord, we are saying, God, you own me. Jesus said what? I have purchased you with my blood. When Christ died for our sins, he redeemed us. He paid for us. He paid the ransom. He satisfied what God wanted. And that is his blood as a holy sacrifice for us. So when we look into that, Jesus took on the name, you know, as those who acknowledge him. Elohim is the other name, Hebrew name for God, used over 2,500 times in the Old Testament. So Jesus is recognized both ways. In the prophecy in Isaiah 40, prepare the way of the Lord. We are familiar with this. John the Baptist quoted this, right? He was one who was called to prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for God. And the word Elohim comes. So we understand that the reference to Jesus is there in Scripture. Now, this is the important part. When John recorded for us what Thomas, his expression, he used two words, my Lord, my God. Two different Greek words here. Kurios, my Lord. Theos, my God. Now, this is important as we explore how we address God? When you pray, how do you pray to God? We can be very free in our expression to Him. We call out in the name of Jesus. What did Jesus say? If you pray in my name, I will hear you. So the name of Jesus is very important, but we need to understand and embrace that. Nancy and I were in a bank this week, and we talked to the lady, and she volunteered. She has an English name. Her name is Eileen. And she volunteered. Eileen means the daughter of God. Right? So I said, oh. So I said, are you a believer of Jesus? And she said, yes, I am. Since I was in high school. Since I came to America at age 18. And so I said, good. So where do you go to church? She said, it's a church called Gaithersburg Chinese Alliance Church. I said, what? You come to this church? Yeah. And she talked about how Pastor John Tsang and Mrs. Tsang led her to the Lord, and she was baptized in this church. So I reached out to her. Her husband is not yet a believer, and said, hey, come back to church. So invited her to come this morning, but she's already have commitments. But I hope in days to come, she will be back. The name is important. As you give a name to your child. And Jesus, before she was born, would say, and you will have a son, Joseph and Mary, and you will call his name Jesus, the Savior. And so here, the name of Jesus is important. How do we know him? Who is Jesus to you? Well, Jesus to some people, like I said, is a good person. He's a good teacher. He's a prophet. He's a healer. He's a lot of stuff that they could not accept that he is God. Because the scripture teaching is what we understand about the Holy Trinity. How can God be God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? As we explore this thing, this is a tough subject to talk about, because nowhere in the Bible would you see the word Trinity. And how do we come to understand this? So if we look at the Bible in whole, and some would call them systematic theology, or if you look at the Bible and doctrinally, and you look at Genesis, let us make men in our image. Well, let us. Who's the us? What is the plural sense of being used out there? And we find that throughout Scripture, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. The Spirit of God. And it's talking about the prophecy that the Son of Man will be here. So maybe this is something in Sunday school we can explore even more about the Trinity, the Godhead. And if you think about the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The name, it's not the names. So this is important here. The acknowledgement that there is one God, but he is expressed as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is God. If you look into the Old Testament, I believe that God reveals himself continuously. But the God that we know has been expressed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. I believe that the Bible is complete. It records for us the life, the work of Christ. That Jesus was sent by God to this earth specifically that we can be saved from our sins. talks about eternal life, that life that we will inherit that goes on after this physical death. It talks about Jesus, the guarantor, because he has paid for our sins. So when we look at the Father in the Bible, God basically expressed in the Old Testament, it's just himself. But as we come into the New Testament, we find that, hey, he is expressing himself now through the Son. The Son himself is God. Jesus came, I have been sent by the Father. I and the Father are one. And so here is that connection here. Jesus is declaring that he is God. He never mentioned, he never specifically said that I am God. But when people ask him, even when he asked his disciples, who do people say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. You are the Son of God. And Jesus said, you didn't learn this from anyone else, but God the Father revealed that to yourself. The Holy Spirit is God himself, recognized as God. So as we think about God, and you say, hey, I'm not sure I got all of this, I'm going to suggest that you do some reading yourself. The case for Christ is the story of actually a biography of Les Strobel, who was reporter in the Chicago Tribune. He used to make fun of his wife for her belief. He said, hey, what is all of this thing? And he went out to disprove the wife's belief in Christ. And after years of research, study, he came to the conclusion that Jesus is the Christ. So there are a number of books. This one that says Case for Christ for Kids. I really encourage you for that. And for youth, there's something we can look into. The Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. Excellent book. If you want to look at the research out there. And then John Stout, Basic Christianity. C.S. Lewis have a simple book, Mere Christianity. So you are interested to find out, you know, what does the Bible say about Jesus? What do other people who began as agnostic, people who are not sure, who even began as atheists to disprove Jesus in their own search, come to accept that Christ, Jesus is the Christ? My friends, maybe you can start this journey. I myself was like that. I came to faith in high school. I was attending a Christian school. But that's all I know. I just say, I accept Jesus. He's my Savior. I have eternal life. But I never grew beyond understanding that I have eternal life with Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? It's not until I came, and my wife was very encouraging to me, and we studied the scripture together. We led Bible study, and then into seminary. I tell you, you don't go to seminary to learn all the basics. You learn the basics here, okay? Seminary can help you or make a mess out of you. So you can consider those things. Unless you're called, don't go to seminary. See, this is where it is. Just like people say, I want to go to medical school, but I don't want to practice as a doctor. I just want to teach medicine. Well, I'm not going to go to a doctor who's never been to an operating room or seen patients on a clinical basis. So here we are, provided evidence that I hope that we can embrace. So what will you do with Jesus? You can accept him or you can reject him. We've seen what John already said. You know, all of this has been written for you that show that there are many things that Jesus did that was not recorded in Scripture. But the basic things given to you is that you may acknowledge that he is the Christ. My friends, perhaps in your life you have said, Jesus, I believe in you. I think that's good. Maybe you can even come to that step where you said, Jesus, I believe that you have died on the cross and rose from the dead. I think that's a very good basic belief in Jesus. But can you come to the point and say that, Jesus, you are my God? Can we claim that? What does it mean when you claim that he is your God and my God? That means I owe my life to him. That means I dedicate my life to him. Now, last week, our district superintendent in his message gave that challenge to us. He said, well, if you believe that God is the one who sanctified you, that means God has put us in a position, move us from sin into a new position of holiness. And this is what he calls us to do. Live in love. Can you live? If you read the Apostle Paul in all his writings, it's always calling us to live a life of righteousness, being right with God, being right with other people as well. So have you sacrificed yourself to that? When Romans chapter 12, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. That means my actions, my words, my decisions, my planning really is all submitted before God. So we're going to have a governing board meeting this afternoon. We always start with a prayer. We always say, God, guide us in our decision. God, guide us in our deliberation that we honor you. And so this is something that we should do not just in church business, but in our own everyday life. We say, God, I really seek your will. Now, it's not easy because oftentimes the self comes out. The self comes out to say, I want to do it this way. The self comes out is, I want to be led by how I feel. So oftentimes we're trying to help people through their discernment of God's will in their life. And oftentimes this is what we get. I feel this is what God is leading me. I feel. Well, if your discernment is only in your feeling, not based on scripture, not based on step of faith, and if it's not based on obedience, then it's an exercise of futility. Because you're saying, I'm not going to do anything. What if your children, or even your grandchildren, Billy, would come and say to you, no, I will see if I would feel like listening to you, Grandpa. You're not going to like that. Okay? Because it's not how you feel, but you have to do what is right. And so, my friends, if we have declared that Jesus is my God, I hope this morning you can do that. You can say a very simple prayer. If you have never asked Jesus to be your Lord and your God, your Savior, come to him in simple confession. Say, Jesus, I need you and I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. From this day on, I want you to take charge of my life. And if you have been a follower of Christ for a long time, maybe today is that time that you make that reaffirmation. Jesus, you are mine and I am yours. This is important because Jesus, when in John chapter 17, in his prayer for his followers, he said, not one of this you have given me have I lost. They are mine. And we sing songs in God's presence, and we are his. So, my friends, what happens is just a short time of quiet reflection in your own way. Pray to God. Express to him your heart's desire and your surrender of your will to him. And I'd like to talk with you further if you want to and discuss how we can grow together in our faith. And we can talk to the elders as well, or those you recognize who are mature in the church who can help you in your faith. Let's just have a time of reflection before God. You can have your own quiet prayer of surrender to God, your own way of telling God that you recommit your life to Him. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the all-knowing God, that You know our thoughts and our deepest desires. So come into our life this morning, because we acknowledge that You are Lord, You are God, and we want to say that You are my God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.